happy to be with you today, as always. You know, you have this, I call it the happy rock. I don't know what you call it. I just have never seen a rock sitting in the front of a church. And I asked what it was, and it was that it was a reminder of the scripture to praise God. And now this happy rock gets to sit in his presence as the children of God praise him. Maybe it's a nugget of gold. You can see I'm where I still am. This morning when I just came in, it's funny how you all of a sudden think of something that goes years and years back and thought, wow, I haven't thought of that in so long. And it was the testimony of a man who God was newly awakening his heart. And his wife sent him to the grocery store to get hot dogs for dinner. Pick up the hot dogs, come home. So he went into the grocery store and he said, I got the hot dogs, I was fine. I picked up the buns, I was fine. Mustard, no problem. I got to the ketchup and saw red. And all of a sudden I lost it in the grocery store. All I could think about was the blood of Christ, and I was lost in it. And he said, a half an hour later, after I totally lost it in front of a bottle of ketchup, I managed to go home to my wife with the hot dogs. And it's kind of what happened to me in a way with last week's message. I started meditating and pondering and thinking about what Mark was talking about last week, about the gold, the nuggets that are in the river of God and in the places of the earth he plants it for us to gather. And I mean, sometimes we call it nuggets, but sometimes you just feel like you've hit the mother lode. I mean, that it is just the vein that runs through, and it is just so, so rich. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 33, he said, the words of God's mouth are better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Now, if we figure that out today at gold trading at what, over $1,600 an ounce now, thousands of coins of gold, what he was saying was, if I have a choice between being a multimillionaire and having this precious word of God, I choose the word of God any day. And that, I mean, that's when you feel like I've hit the mother lode here. I am rich, I am rich, I am rich. There is nothing in this world worth trading it for. I have a nugget this morning that I bring, and it's found in Psalm 107, verse 20. And it reads, he sent his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from all their destructions. I'd like to stop for just a few minutes this morning and ponder in our human experience words and what we think when we think of words. All of our communication, or most of it, through words. And we know, even in human terms, that words, they have the power to lift up or to tear down. They have the power to encourage or to discourage. They have the power in them to do good or do evil. And we see, even in these human terms, that they're the element of power in our own words. And we've had this saying that I remember as a little kid, you know, when somebody said something to you that was ugly, you go, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. But you knew down inside it really was a lie, that sticks and stones hurt your bones and words harm you too. But then there is God's word. It said, the scripture in Psalm 107 starts out, he sent his word. The psalmist says also that by his words, he created the heavens. That's a message all in itself. I get lost when I kind of try to go beyond our solar system and how immense it is out there, or immensible, and how it goes on and on. Not only in how far-reaching the universe that he created just by speaking is, but how immense it is down to the tiniest detail of an atom and smaller. And yet it said he spoke a word and it happened. Now we're talking about a totally different thing here when we go from our word to his word. That all he had to do was speak, and the universe was created. That, I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that. How can you imagine it when you can't even imagine how big it is that of what he created? It's such a mystery to me. We see in that the power of his word. And then we see the heart of his word. And this is a passage of scripture that we're all familiar with. It's in the first verses of the book of John, where it starts out, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." The mystery of it. We've got a word that speaks and the universe is created. And now he's telling us that word was God. And then later on in the chapter he said, "And the word was made flesh and it dwelt among us." God sent his word and healed their diseases. God sent Jesus Christ and healed their diseases. You remember when John the Baptist was thrown into prison, he had to be thinking, things aren't going well. It was getting close for having his head chopped off. But one day he got two of his men, he sent two of his men, and he told them, "Go to Jesus and ask him, 'Who are you?'" Odd question for John. Who are you? This is the John the Baptist that from the first time he encountered Christ, he and Christ weren't even born yet. They were standing, you know, inside their mother's womb, and John was jumping up and down inside just to be in the presence of his Lord. And from that time on, he heard the God the Father's voice out of heaven saying, "This is my son." And then John proclaimed to all the world, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he's sending two of his men over and saying, "Who are you? Tell me who you are." He had his moment of struggle there with faith. And at the very moment these two men came to Jesus, he was in the midst of the crowd healing the multitude, healing their afflictions, healing their diseases, casting out demons when these two men showed up. And they said, "John wants to know who you are." And he said, "You go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Basically, you go tell John that God sent his living word to heal their diseases in Jesus Christ. I have a particular experience with this when it happens, you never forget it. And it's not like a broken record because it's new to you. I mean, it's living. No matter how long ago, it's living. God did something amazing, and you just don't forget it. And when my youngest daughter was just a baby was when I was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctors told me, when I finally confronted him, because I was looking at my medical chart, you know, when it was being left around, I'd pick it up and read it, and I go, whoa, they're not telling me what's going on. And so when I saw the doctor, I confronted him, what is this? And so he just point blank looked at me and said, you have about a year to live. And I went back to my hospital room and as a little bit of background, from the time Mark and I were saved in 1972, we read the Bible through Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. Sometimes I got tired of reading Genesis to Revelation. I didn't want to see the book of the laws again for a long time. And I'd wait a while until it started getting at me again. And I'd go, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. Well, months and months before that day in the hospital, many months, I had decided, okay, I'm going to go again. Started on Genesis. And you figure in all the days you didn't read and all the days you maybe have read more. And that day, when I walked back to my hospital room, I picked up my Bible. I turned to my marker where I left off the last day. And I looked down at Psalm 118 and I started to read. And God spoke to me the very words. He sent his word and it said, you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. He sent his word and he healed me. Only God could know months and months before when I was struggling with, let's start with Genesis again, that day was coming. That day I would need him to send his word and heal me. And that very day it would be there. And he would heal me by sending his word. Only God knows those things. And it's so real that he sent Jesus Christ to heal us from all of our diseases. And when you look at this scripture, the amazing thing is that it's not even all the scripture. That in itself is priceless. But the scripture goes on, and he said he sent his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from all their destructions. You know, just by saying that, it means that we have some destructiveness that needs to be healed. And it was no surprise to God that we have this destructiveness. If we go back even to the Old Testament, do you remember Solomon's temple? You remember you went from the outer court into the inner court and finally into the Holy of Holies? And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And there were three things in there, you recall. There were the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and manna. And if we even look at the story behind those three things, the Ten Commandments, when he gave them the Ten Commandments first to Moses, what were they down the mountain doing? Partying and building a golden calf. They got another set of Ten Commandments. And from that point, we know the history of man continued to break them, and to destroy. And yet there they were in the Ark of the Covenant. And then there was Aaron's rod. And what is the story behind that? Was that they didn't want Aaron to be the high priest. They rejected what God was doing. There was a story of destructiveness in it. They were going to reject it, and we know that they rejected Christ as the high priest too. And then the manna, they got tired of eating bread from heaven, and they complained, and they rejected it, and they cried, and they wanted meat. They wanted real meat. Until we know the story that God sent the earth, covered it with fowls, and they ate until they said it was coming out their nostrils. Not a very pleasant thought, but they had more than their fill and the judgment that went with it. But there also is a story of destructiveness, of their destructions, that God could send them bread from heaven and they wouldn't be satisfied with it. And they would demand something else. And we know that even in Christ, that they cry, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him." That they would reject the bread of heaven. And so here he had in that ark, everything that was in it had a story behind it of the destructiveness of man. And yet he covered in, what was it called? The mercy seat of God. He said, "I got it covered. Your destructiveness is no surprise to me. This place is covered with my mercy, and the mercy of God over it, over everything I gave, and you rejected everything you wanted to destroy. I've got it covered in my mercy." And I think if we're honest, we could say, oh, we have had or have a bit of destructiveness about us, but let's not talk about us. Let's keep talking about them and move on toward the New Testament and look at it again there. James and John were, what was their nickname? The Sons of Thunder. You remember the time when some of these people didn't want to walk over where Jesus was? They were over there, and John and James' idea was, let's send a bolt of lightning out of heaven and strike them dead. That was their idea of dealing with the problem. Jesus said, wait a minute, guys. We're not going to deal with it like this. It's okay that they're not with us. It doesn't mean they're against us. But can you imagine the church of the thunderbolt? Little destructive it would have been on the face of the earth. Or Peter with his sword in his hand slicing off ears. Can you imagine the church, what the church would have been? The church of the sword, and you better stay out of my way, and you better, how destructive. And not just to pick on Peter, James, and John, but it was actually the whole lot of them. You know that in the New Testament, it recorded three different times where Jesus was working with his disciples because he found them arguing over who is the best, who is the greatest, who is going to get to have the best position that there was. At least three times in the scripture, he dealt with them. He kept telling them, guys, This isn't it. This is not what I'm talking about. He'd get a little child and he said, look, this little child, just love on this little child. This is not about your place and position and a power trip. And then they'd do it again and he would say, look, it's not about this. It's to be a servant. It's to serve, not to want to be a lord over everything. They just had this destructiveness in it. Can you imagine the church if it were all, I am something and you are not? if that was the whole concept of the church, if that destructiveness took hold, was what the church was about, became about, is I am the Lord and you are not, and let's go from there. But the one that really got to me was the third time they were doing it, was the night of the Lord's Supper. I mean, I don't know, reading through it so many times, you miss so much, but you just kind of had this feeling like, oh, the Lord's Supper, what an atmosphere, you know, what an atmosphere, it was just so holy. It was just so. But no, you go read Luke 22. they were arguing over who was going to be the greatest and who was going to have the best position on the night of the Lord's Supper, less than 24 hours before the cross. I mean, think in human terms. You're the lead. You've worked with these guys. You've tried to tell them over and over, and you're under the pressure of what is, you know what is ahead. And if it were us, this is about the time we start letting off steam. We're under the gun. We know it's what's coming down the pipe. And you just, how many times do I have to tell these guys? But no. He sent his word to heal them and to deliver them from all their destructions. And he said the most amazing thing. I just want you to look at the face of Jesus Christ. I just want you to hear him in this situation. In the face of the destructiveness that he saw in their lives. And you know what he said to them? He said to them, after telling them again, this is not what it's about, guys. He looked at them and he said, I'm going to give you a kingdom. My Father gave me a kingdom, and I'm going to give you a kingdom. And you're going to sit, and you're going to eat, and you're going to drink with me. Ha! I mean, I don't know if that grabs you like it, but in the face of it, the grace, the mercy that God said, I am covering all their destructiveness with my mercy. And we see it in Christ living, in the living word we see it, and him looking at it and saying, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. In the face of their arguing over who was going to be the greatest, he was looking at them and telling them, I'm going to give you a kingdom. You're going to sit and eat and drink with me. You're going to rule. The Father gave it to me and I'm giving it to you. Ha! You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't stopped seeing those seeds of destructiveness in my life. Anybody? You, something happens and you go, ooh, that's not very pretty. And the tendency is there's where we're condemned. But he said he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He said, I sent my word to heal their diseases and to deliver them from their destructions. To me, it sheds a whole new light on, for God so loved the world that he sent his loving or living word. The word was God and made flesh and dwelt with us. And as he dwelt with us, he healed the diseases and he delivers from all the destructions. That for God so loved the world, he does that. I have a tendency to, I mean, I can see ugly. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm down. But can you imagine him looking at you at that point and saying, I'm going to give you a kingdom. I remember many of you probably read Hind's Feet on High Places. And sometimes you can read a whole book and you remember one line out of it. And somehow the one thing I remember every time I think of Hind's Feet in High Places was she said, I want to go to the high places. When are you ever going to take me to the high places? You take me through the desert. You take me here. You take me there. But why don't I get to go up to the high places? And she finally one day gets to go up to the high places. And it's pouring down rain. And as she's walking up to the high places, mud, you know, mud all the way up the back of her legs, complaining, just not a pretty sight. And she hears a voice behind her singing, Christ singing over her, telling her, you're beautiful, my beloved. And here she is going, oh no, I'm complaining, I got mud all over me. It's kind of what God's saying when he says he covers our destructiveness and he heals it. When Mark was talking some last week about hippie days, hippiedom, I was there. I have my story. But it goes along with this that I'm talking about right now. And it was an encounter with God that you never, ever, 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 for all eternity, forget. And I was in college up in North Carolina, and it was the days of all the Woodstock big rock festivals and Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and all that stuff. And they were having one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And a friend asked me to go. And I thought, okay, I'll go. And so here I was in the middle of this rock festival. And to preface this, I want to say that I wasn't doing any drugs or anything, just so you'll know. I'm just prefacing that. And in the middle of this rock festival, I mean, we were vegetarians. And so if I looked over and I saw somebody eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, I was, ooh, that's gross. And I'd look over here and I'd see somebody shooting up with a needle, and I was always afraid of needles, so, ooh, that's gross. And then on the stage was an old rocker, Alice Cooper, and his group, and he was cutting up a baby doll on the stage, its limbs off of it. And I looked at that and thought, that is ugly. And it was for the first time, because hippies ran around going, ooh, everything's cool, peace, peace, love, peace, everything's cool. And for the first time, I was going, wait a minute, this is ugly. But at the very moment that I said that to myself, there was a blackness that came from my peripheral vision on both sides, fast, like this. And when it hit my eyes, all of a sudden, I was in a dark tunnel, black, black tunnel, falling to hell faster than the speed of anything I've ever experienced. I knew I was falling to hell, and there was nothing I could hang on to. There was nobody I could scream to. There was nothing to save me, and all I could think of was I've waited too long, because I had a little bit of background, you know, in my childhood. And that's all I could think of is waited too long. And I just was falling so fast into hell. And just in that moment, Jesus spoke to me from outside the tunnel. And when he spoke to me from outside the tunnel, his very words held me up. Nothing was holding me up, but his words were just holding me right there in that space. And he'd speak to me, and I just, you ever been in the hospital and you blow on the, or see somebody and they have to blow on that ball, and the ball just kind of stays right there, you know, while you're blowing on it? Well, I was just staying there because he was speaking to me. And I've thought many times, I can't believe my reaction to him. Because here I should have been, because it is exactly what I was feeling, screaming at the top of my lungs, save me, don't let me go to hell, please don't let me go to hell, I'll be good. That's all you can think of. I'll be good, you know, don't let me go to hell. But you know, the first thing that I said to him was, Jesus, you're really alive. You're really alive. And then he told me a Bible story, because he knew how many people were at the rock festival. There were about 5,000 there. So he told me a Bible story about the 5,000. And he said, when I had $5,000 together, he knew I'd been looking at all that ugly stuff. So when I had $5,000 together, I sat them down. He said, I loved them. I fed them. And I responded back to him, I want this love in my heart. And when I did, he popped me out of the tunnel faster than I had fallen down in. And when he popped me out of the tunnel and I opened my eyes, I was lying on the ground with a bunch of people freaking out around me. And I say this to say, he sends his word, his living word, and he delivers us from our destructions. The power of his word, the heart of his word, to heal and to deliver. He has us covered with his mercy, not to condemn us, but to heal us and to deliver us. And you know, from that, I think over and over and over again, I do not want to fall into the routine of religion. Because from the get-go, he showed me I'm real. I didn't know that. And the power of my words can hold you up out of hell. The power of my words create the universe. The heart of my word sent Jesus Christ, my son, to heal and to deliver and to cover with his mercy seat. I don't want to forget that he heals. I don't want to forget that he delivers from all of our destructions. And you know, maybe this morning, maybe you see it yourself. Maybe you see a seed of destruction. Then know what his heart is toward you. Know that his heart is to deliver you. And maybe this morning you are sick or that you need to be healed. Don't forget that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he sent his only son. That's how he did it. He said it in Psalms that God sent his word to heal and to deliver from their destructions. And he performed it in Jesus Christ. That we won't forget that he does this. I remember my daughter, she wasn't walking closely with the Lord. And she calls me up one day and she said, Mom, you won't believe what happened. I said, what? She said, I was at work today, and my coworker was really sick. She's really been sick. And I said to her, let's pray about it. And so she said, okay. And we prayed, and God miraculously healed her right on the spot. I said, yes. That she sees God is real, that he is alive today to do these things. That we not forget, that we not forget what he came to do. Can you imagine what an insult it is to him? When God said the very thing he sent him for was to heal us and to deliver us, and we don't believe it anymore? Or we don't believe it for somebody else? It goes far beyond us as we look at the need of healing around us and the need of being delivered from destructiveness all around us. And he doesn't want us to forget that it's not a hopeless situation. For anybody in your life around you, of the destructiveness that we see in the world, it is not a hopeless situation, that he is alive and powerfully real to heal and to deliver. This is a mother lode to me. This is a vein. We are rich. This is a nugget. This in itself, you put thousands of coins of gold and silver at $1,600 an ounce. I take this. And he wants to show us. Look at him on the face of the earth. Look how he dealt with his disciples. He didn't go off on them. You think, why didn't he? You know, he doesn't go off on us. But he heals and delivers. That's my word this morning. And you know, just in this, when just one more thing I wanted to say. The two testimonies that I gave you, one was in the where he sent his word to heal me, was in the hospital. The other was in a rock festival. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter where it is. Expect him and believe him to do these things.